That are joining us on Facebook. We're blessed that there's no distance in the spirit realm. So what the Lord is doing here, he's doing those that listen to us actually around the world. Praise God. Well, I'm going to do a little quick recap because I'm sure you're all very, very proficient students. But you know, we've been laying a foundation, or I've been laying a foundation the last few weeks. First foundation we laid was out of John 13, 34, and 35, where the Lord Jesus gave us a new commandment that we love one another. And by this love, all are going to know that we're what? We're His, in Jesus' name. And then we went to Galatians 6, 10 a few weeks ago, and we're challenged as we have opportunities, we're going to do good, which is more than average, to all, but especially to those in the house of the Lord, which means not just here at Shield of Faith. That's believers. Amen? Then a couple weeks ago, I ministered on what God has imparted to all of us, and that is, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that He gave each and every one of us a ministry. And that ministry is reconciling people to Jesus. So, you all got a ministry, you're all loving on one another, you're all looking to do good, and today I want to lay the last fourth corner of our foundational scriptures that we were founded on back in, actually, 1989. Church was birthed in May of 1990, but the spiritual birthing of it happened in September of 1989, when my wife and I had hands laid on us. We parted where we were associate pastors, and the Lord was looking to where in Saginaw would we be located. In May in 1990, this is where we ended up, and we've been here ever since, so praise God. Amen. One of those most pertinent foundational scriptures that I believe that the Lord has given us as a church, but also as pastor, is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the challenge is, if you've turned to that page, I'm going to start with verse 1. The actual foundation is 2. But the scripture says this: you, sons and daughters, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And if you've been with us very long, you know you can't separate Jesus from grace, because the unmerited favor only comes from Jesus. So we're to be strong in this unmerited favor, or to be strong in the Lord Jesus. And verse 2 then says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. The things that you've heard, in other words, aren't secretly being said behind closed doors, but the things that you've heard, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, amongst many witnesses. It says, commit these to faithful men or men and women who will be able to now give them to others. Now, if everybody would look at me just a second before we read on, the whole Word of God from Genesis on is set up to everything is purposed to reproduce itself. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating the heavens and the earth and He created us, He said, we call it the law of Genesis, but in Genesis it says everything, first Genesis 1:11 says, everything reproduces after its own kind. In other words, it goes on and says the life is in the seed. And we know the Word of God is the seed, but we know that everything reproduces after its own kind. You've heard me say, if you've got dogs, they're not going to produce kittens. They're going to produce puppies. If you've got cats, they're not going to produce parrots. If you go out in the field and you'll see they're harvesting wheat now in this area, they didn't get wheat by planting corn. Or they didn't get wheat by planting soybeans. The law of Genesis, how God set up the earth in its entirety, is everything reproduces after its own kind. If you want to receive a harvest of anything, you must first plant. If you want to be loved, when someone says, I don't feel love, they have to learn the principle. They have to sow love into others. If you don't feel the joy and the peace, you have to sow joy and peace into others because we reap what we sow. Everything, God is not a liar. Let God be true, even if every man is a liar. Everything reproduces after its own kind. That's Genesis. That's the foundation of creation. So if you don't like where you're at today, you got to change what you're sowing and what you're planting. Now, we pick it up in Jesus' transitional scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says it this way, do unto others as you'd have them do it unto what? You. Which means if you want something, you got to sow it into others if you want to get it back yourself. It doesn't matter how much we love the Lord, if we're not sowing respect and grace and mercy in others, we aren't going to get a harvest of that back. It's a principle of God. Just because we're saved and going to heaven because we made Jesus Christ our Lord does not mean we're going to reap a good harvest if we're not sowing a good harvest. And then we pick it up with Paul as he's exhorting to the church at Galatians. He says this, God will not be mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, that shall they reap. Now it goes on, it says, grow not weary, but the emphasis of this is this. Whatever you and I are planting today, or let me put it this way, whatever you planted in your life yesterday is how you're living it today. The harvest that we have in our life now didn't just hocus pocus, and now we get this from God. His principles are upheld, and he stands behind them. And he's laid it out so that all of us can have life and life more abundantly, but we have to plant the seeds that he's freely given us because of his grace, his unmerited favor. If we want health, we've got to plant seeds of right living and eating and taking care of the principles that God set before us. It just doesn't happenstance. Now, because seed time and harvest is so true, if I plant junk, can I expect to harvest good stuff? If I'm planting jealousy and unforgiveness and bitterness, am I going to reap abundant life? No. Our prisons, our jails are filled with those that did not plant good. And many of us missed out on that because we probably didn't get caught. But the emphasis is this. As a Christian, we have a destiny to be reproducers. God created you and me to reproduce ourselves in others. And that's why when we go to 2 Timothy 2:2, and as we look at Paul to his son Timothy, he said, look out amongst you for people that are faithful and committed. He uses those terms. And take what you have and give it to them. Because as you give it to them, what's going to happen back to you? You're going to reap it. Now, I find it very interesting. We can get so caught up on the significance of biological sowing and biological harvesting, we can miss out on the bigger picture, which is spiritually reproducing. Let me just tell you this. Do you know that Jesus did not have a wife and did not have biological children? Did you know one of the greatest authors of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament was Paul? Do you know that Paul wasn't married and he didn't have any spiritual or he didn't have any biological children? Do you know that between Jesus and Paul there is such an emphasis on reproducing ourselves in others? And yet they realized they didn't biologically look to reproduce. They were looking about spiritually reproducing themselves in others. So the mandate to the church is, yes, we have a responsibility for our biological family to train up our children in the way they should go. That's all a given. But we have just as much of a mandate, if not more, to reproduce ourselves spiritually in others.
Amen.
So, if we're not, we will not feel complete. Now, this is how the Lord dealt with me when I was mowing my grass. A lot of times he does when I'm meditating on him. I was one time saying, Lord, you know, we've been pastoring for all these years. I think we've got a pretty special message that you've given us. And here we have a church of 100. And I look and all these people have churches of thousands. And the Lord, just as plain as could be, told me this. He says, take any of my children that are overseeing thousands, and I can tell you they are not fathering thousands. They are fathering up to 12, my number for governments. And then he began to show me how he had fathered 12, and out of the 12, one was a bad apple. So even Jesus had a bad apple in the midst of fathering. So what he dropped in my heart was this: you've got to teach people to reproduce themselves in others. And if you're going to have a strong church, people have to be reproducing themselves in others. And that's what makes us strong. Because, and I'll have you, if you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians. Here, Paul again. Chapter 4, verse 14 says it like this. Remember, Paul had no biological children. But how many know he had a lot of spiritual children? Like the one that we're looking at in Timothy that we're just leaving now to go to Corinthians. Verse 14 says this. I do not write these things to shame you. And another rendering there, or condemn you. Paul is not writing this to beat you up. But he does want to drive and emphasize a very important principle that he wants them to grab a hold of. As my beloved children, I'm warning you. Now, remember, look at me. This is Paul speaking. Did he have any biological children? But he's referring to the body of Christ as his spiritual family, and he's exhorting them. Not to shame them, not to beat them up, but to encourage them so they'll see their destiny and they'll see how important and significant their life is in other people's lives.
Amen.
And he goes on and says this, verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Now, if you look up in different renderings of Greek, it will give you all kinds of what he's referring to there. In one rendering, it says, you may have 10,000 boy leaders, yet you do not have many fathers. And I want to put in there, or mothers. There is a big difference between an instructor, a boy leader, and a father or a mother. A spiritual father or a mother wants to impart to others, causing them to be stronger than they are. They want to reproduce themselves in others. And what Paul is saying, you got all kinds of people that want you to follow them. You got a bunch of people that want to wear the crowns and say, hey, follow me. I'm a leader. I'm a king. But they're not fathers.
Amen.
So the emphasis in all of our lives is we've got to have spiritual fathers and mothers so that we become a spiritual father or mother so we can reproduce ourselves in others. This that was given to Paul to Timothy was not just for Paul and Timothy. It was for the body of Christ. And that's why the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing. What you sow, you will reap. We are to be sowing in one another's lives. We're to be raising up. My mission in life is to raise up sons and daughters. And although I have no biological sons and daughters, I still have spiritual ones because God has given me a heartbeat to reproduce others that are faithful after my kind. But it's not for me only, it's for us. Say, us means me.
Us means me.
So the mandate we have is we come in, you're full-time ministers, but your ministry is to produce yourself in others. How many have heard the saying when you'll be around family or friends, oh, you remind me of your father, you remind me of your mother. It's because you've been with them and you've hung with them and you've been reproduced to be a lot like them. It's the same way it's supposed to be with us. For in Christ Jesus, he's begotten us through the gospel. Verse 16 says this. This is Paul. I urge you, imitate me. Here is Paul. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11:1, he'll tell us to imitate him as he imitates who?
Christ.
Jesus. He is trying to get them to look at his life. And if you're a faithful man or woman, he's probably trying to emphasize, hey, if you receive me as a father or in a spiritual sense for those that would look to women of God as a spiritual mother, imitate, which means what you're seeing, do, but not the junk, the stuff as I follow Jesus, we're all to be doing so others will grab a hold of that and want it, but not just to keep it to themselves.
Amen.
So my challenge to you, you've got a ministry, but the ministry involves producing yourself in others. It doesn't take anything away from your biological family. In fact, there's a lot of frustration that many times comes on biological family when the kids that they've done their best with become renegades. They think, oh, I'm a terrible mother or father, and they beat themselves up. You know, you do the best you can with what you got. God is still accountable, or he's still responsible for the harvest. Our responsibility is to sow, is to find and reproduce ourselves in others, whether or not we come up. Do you know how many times I could be frustrated? How many people I thought, I had a son, and I'm raising him up, and he's following, and when he'd minister here, he would sound like me, and the next thing you know, he'd be squirrely. He would be going off doing stupid stuff. And if you want me to call it what it is, being a sinner in the midst of being forgiven and having received the grace of God. And then they'd be gone. It always starts out, little squirrel here, little squirrel there. Next thing you know, fully blown, and they're all fall apart. And Paul's not saying imitate the nonsense. He says the things in me that you see that are of Christ, produce that in others. Let that they'll take it. Oh, and I'm going to reproduce it in others.
Amen.
And the reason why I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing, because happens along a Chaplain Chuck, you don't know how proud I am when I'll go in the prison and I'll hear him minister, I'll hear him minister here, and I think to myself, and my wife says, it sounds like you. Because that many years, he calls me dad, calls me a father, but we've reproduced. Or how about a Pastor Mike, as excited as I am every Sunday, my wife bumps me all the time, says, when he's saying something that he's got from a deposit. He knew nothing before here. Or my wife finds a Priscilla that she's imparting and someone that wants to take and wants to barrel through the nonsense and produce that in others. Do you know that you can't make somebody change, but we have to be the planters and hope that they grab a hold of things? Because to have a Chaplain Chuck or a Pastor Mike, and there's others too, but I'm saying it's because you've taken what you know and you've freely given it out and you spend extra time with those that are taking it and not just keeping it to themselves, but are looking to train it and release it in others. That's called reproducing yourself in others. And that's our mandate here, folks. We're going to reach the world because we are going to be releasers of God's principles into those that are faithfully going to turn around and release it into others.
Yes,
how can you get a big head if the Lord gave me the principle of you're only going to father 12, which means any more than that, it's an almost virtual impossibility. If it was impossible for Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus ministered to the multitudes, but he fathered 12. He spoke into a bunch of people's lives, the woman at the well and all that, but he hung with 12, and even in that 12, he had a close-knit threesome that was there. But the point is, he didn't love them any more than anybody else. But he knew that he had to invest himself in others, because there was coming a time when he would leave. And when he would leave, he'd leave them the same thing he had, called the Holy Ghost, and tell them, the things I did, now go and do it. Amen. And you're going to do greater than what I did, because you all got the same Holy Ghost that I had, and he had to have got excited. With 120 in the upper room, then 3,000 in the multiplication process, anytime it can stop if we get religious and we think, now we got to go to church and we got to receive from the giant man or woman, and once we receive, good, I can make it for another week. No, we take what we learn, we become fathers, faithful, committed, and look to release it in other people's lives. Let me finish the other part of what the Lord showed me on the lawnmower. Not only did he tell me that, he says, because of how I created man, if they aren't reproducing themselves and others, they get irritable, irate, and they begin to hurt the people that they should love the most. And he gave me this analogy. Now, PK's never had a biological kid, but I've been around enough pregnant women to know this. After a mother has carried that baby in the womb for 9 months, he gave me the parallel of people hooking up to church life. They're all excited and it's all glorious. Oh my gosh. Now parallel it with the way the Lord showed it. Oh my gosh, I can feel it moving. Oh my gosh, what is it? Oh, nowadays it can test. Oh, it's a boy. And we pray for him and so forth. But come 9 months, come on moms, let's just say in 9 months, from now, you haven't birthed that baby. But you still, all around you, have people encouraging you. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. They're going to serve God. As 9 months, 2 weeks go on, I don't care how cheery the people are around you. If you aren't birthing that baby, you're getting miserable, you're getting uncomfortable, and you begin to take it out on the ones that actually love you. Now, you end up going 10 months. I don't care how good the church is. I don't care how much encouragement around you. You're miserable. And the Lord says that's why you got so much irritable people in the body of Christ, is because they've not begun to produce and where they're at, so they begin to hurt the ones they actually love. But when you begin to birth yourself and you begin to see others, it's exciting. And you love the process. And it keeps you stirred and excited. Amen. And you want to keep at it. So the way the Lord deposited that in my heart was this. I have got to be careful that I get people, especially when you're going to spend extra time with. Mario Murillo shared it this way. You've got high output or low maintenance, high output. And you got high maintenance, low output. You got some you can invest and tell them and tell them and tell them, and they continuously go the opposite way, and the Lord says you still love them. But they're not the ones you're going to hang with and keep with, because you're looking for the Timothys and the Priscillas and those that are going to take what you've told them and in turn help others get out of their situations. That's called reproducing self in others, and that's what's going to win this world to Jesus. It's not any giants on top of the hill, just one, his name is Jesus, and us being reproducers in others. And guess what? In God's kingdom, there's no age. He's the God of I am now. So if you think you're too old, oh, but I'm too old, your spirit's not old. And you may be chronologically older because you've had, but take it as you've had more life's experiences. That's why in the scripture, the Bible says older women, you are to train up younger women, teach them how to love their husbands. Yes, sir. And older men, you're supposed to continuously impart what you've learned into their lives. It's a never-stopping process unless we're done. My dad, World War II vet, 97 years young. He's still going. Now, he wants to go home and be with the Lord. He doesn't know why the Lord keeps him. But he keeps producing himself and others. He's got now, he doesn't travel. They come to his house for a Bible study, and he's imparting what he knows, and he's sharing with what. And some of you have met him, and he's full of wisdom, but he's always looking. He says, I don't know why God's keeping me around, but I'm not going to stop until I can't go any longer. What happens is too many people stop. or they're just content. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. Great, if that's all you want, to go to heaven. But I don't believe this church was birthed by people that just want to be a convert, get to heaven. I believe people in this church have been drawn because they want to see heaven come to earth and people live victorious and reproduce themselves and others and make a difference. I'm praying that Saginaw gets so stirred and turned on that people will wonder, what in the world's happening? What's happening is Jesus is showing up. It's not a one-man, two-man, 10-man, 20-man show. It's not a put-on-a-show. No, we're not trying to trick and make you happy to come so I can show you the next trick. No, it's to take the nuggets and give them to other people. And the ministry's not in here. The ministry's when we leave those doors.
Yes,
at work, at play, where you work out, where you travel. If you're in a retirement community, it's every person you run into. And the more you see yourselves as a minister, the more apt you are to begin to produce yourself in others. Now look at me. If you're only focusing on your biological family, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to take you out. More people get discouraged, disgruntled because they focus all their time. Oh, my kids, you should see now. Oh, my grandkids. Oh, they're all over. You can't change them other than you be all you can be and be producing yourself in others. And if it's not your biological family, produce it in those that are hungry for more. Because I'm telling you, there's a world that wants what we got. So the challenge, don't settle. Just my little circle and no more. You're bigger than that. Not physically. Spiritually. I was being blessed as I was rehearsing. Thank God for our children's ministries. This is from one of our elementary kids had written to me a little bit ago. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity. Then God combined these qualities. When there was nothing more to add, he knew he had created a masterpiece, and so he called him Dad or Mom. See, all the gifts things and all the blessings that we get from him. He's putting them into us to reproduce that to make an impact. And then it goes on and says, go state.
Amen.
So one of my adult children, now again, there's no biological children, but some of you are my adult children. A card I just recently got this last Father's Day. What is a father? It's someone who shapes your life in so many ways. Their presence is a constant reminder that they watch out for you and they care about you. Their guidance lets you know that they believe in you and they want only the best for you. His love is like no other love in the world, and it starts to mean more as you grow older because you realize it takes an incredible man to be a father. And that's exactly what you are, an amazing man and a wonderful father.
Amen.
See, that ministers to my heart because I believe that's what our mandate is to produce ourselves as men of God and as women of God, that we are looked on as mothers and fathers of the faith. That when we come to church, it's not just coming and, oh, I can't wait to worship, or pastor, give me a good word. No, it's to encourage you to be more than what you see yourself as. To see that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. To know that this is not a condemnation thing. This is an impartation thing. To take what God has given somebody, give it away so that you can in turn look to give it to others. Get out of our small boxes of focusing on sometimes our biological family that all it does is beat us up. because they get in our face and tell us things we don't want to hear. You know what? You need to smile, keep praying for them, but look for those that are hungry to go on. Look for others that will receive what you got in your heart. I hate to see the damage to Christians. They get hurt and beat up, and then they isolate themselves from the body of Christ because religion kills. But relationships heal.
Amen, brother.
And Jesus never called us to be religious. He called us to have a relationship with Him and with others.
Yes, sir.
And by this, they'd all know we're His, by the love we have for one another. And that love means that we have to be fathers, not boy leaders. We need to be mothers, not girl leaders. We need to impart and be more than what you think, because you got all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it's already been deposited in you when you made Jesus Christ your Lord. All you have to do now is yield to this great force of God called the Holy Ghost and let it flow. Ruthie just said she got clear at 80-some years young, clear to get surgery. Someone says, well, we were believing for healing. Well, she's believing for healing too. But if healing doesn't come and she has another surgery, she's looking for an opportunity to impact those in the hospital. Every time I'm in there, you've heard me use her as an example. She's got me praying for people, or she's praying for victories and so forth. She doesn't allow the situation to take her down. I'm telling you, we got to get off of thinking of only so minutely of ourselves. We don't look at the bigger picture. Wherever your footsteps take you, it's an opportunity to release what God has given you. Well, I don't know that much. Well, get in there and learn more, and you'll have more to release. You don't beat anybody up with a Bible. I never go and beat people over the head with a Bible, but I look for an opportunity. And you know what? In that, enough youngsters, and they don't have to be young in age, those that want more just happen to be around. I want that. I want to receive that. I want to produce that in others. And the next thing you know, the Timothys arise, or the Tituses arise, or the Priscillas arise because of the Chloes. Roseanne, excellent communion. In your heart, there's a committed woman. Since she's come, and we've watched the growth, you've grown immensely. We all go through tough times. Some people tougher than others, but the point is, having done all, are you still standing? And that's our impartation, is to be an encouragement to one another. I started this by reading. This is not to put anybody in condemnation. This to encourage you. You can do this. You can produce yourself in others. Oh, yes, it starts in your home with your biological kids. But if they're grown, look for some spiritual kids that want what you're offering. And you'll be disappointed at times, because there'll be those that don't want to go with what you're releasing. But there'll be others that'll come along. Rich always talks about, why do you always use me in my messages? Cindy and Rich, youngsters. But I remember when they first come, and, we got church, we're not interested. No, yep, standoffish, and then just little by little, next thing we know his heart. Now when I listen to him, so much growth. You're not too old to learn that you can be a reproducer. Amen? Imitate me only as I imitate Jesus. And we got the Holy Ghost that will tell us when we're not imitating Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We're blessed to have the seriousness in our flock. But I don't want, no matter what age you are, to stop looking to be a blessing. You're founded, and that's one of the principles. Find some faithful people and reproduce yourself in others. And it will make you smile. I tell my wife, she always says, man, you just love going to church every day. I do. I don't know, because you never know what's going to happen. I'm always excited. Something, don't people get on your nerves? No, I know people come and go. I hang on to people loosely. Now, seriously. If they want to go to another church, I bless them. It doesn't matter if they go to Shield of Faith, but those that want to stay here, I know they're staying here because it's not just wanting their ears tickled. They want to take and produce it in others because they see themselves as ministers. So my cry is, ministers, arise and take back what's already ours and make a difference.
Amen.
In Saginaw, because this is where we're planted. Or Kenya, if you're going with Mike. Amen? Amen. Let's close. Let's stand our feet. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that there's absolutely zero condemnation in taking your truths and making them reality in our lives. And Father, right now as we close, and especially those that are viewing us on Facebook, I thank you, Lord, that you have deposited the seeds within their lives, that they see themselves as reproducers. Father, what you have done in creating us is not just for ourselves, but to reproduce ourselves in others. Father, I pray that release in this congregation, but also that release saturate the airways. And I thank you that the body of Christ is coming to the reality of seeing the significance of each person. And I thank you, Lord. If there's anyone this morning that's listening that's not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I'm going to encourage you. This is the time to invite Jesus to come into your life. Say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need you as my Lord and Savior. And I receive you this day. Come into my life. Help me. Give me that Holy Ghost that I get when I get saved. Make me this discipler for others. Encourage me to reproduce myself in others. And Father, I hook up with their prayer, with the prayers of this whole congregation. And I thank you that what you begun in lives, you will continue it till it's completed. And we give you all the praise and the glory. And I prophesy fathers and mothers of the faith to arise and be producers in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said, Amen. Greet one another. Love them one another. If you need prayer, the altars are open. Thank you, Jesus.